World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, good morning, boys and girls. Good morning, good morning, good morning. The day after, the morning after. Is there such a thing as a morning after pill for what we just went through? My, oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. Hey, listen, I let you down. I got to confess when I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And I'm telling you, I missed it. And I want to apologize to all of you for leading you astray. I don't know how I could have missed it so badly. I said Hillary would make it to the finish line. She did. They drug her over the finish line, but the old gray mare, she ain't what she used to be, is she? Huh? She ain't what she used to be. A lot of things happened last night. I want to share a little bit of my heart, what I'm feeling today. I want this to be an interactive show. I want to hear from you guys, because if you're anything like me, hey, guys. I didn't go to bed last night. You guys go to bed last night? How could you go to bed? I mean, I guess you could call it that, but my mind was just racing. And I want to say first and foremost, see, that's a lie because I've already spoken. So to say that, I'm going to say first and foremost is a lie because I've been talking. But as I change subjects, I want to say this first and foremost as I change subjects. We had a miracle in our midst last night. I don't care which side of the fence that you were on. By the way, those stinking never Trumpers, they're still spewing venom this morning. Hey, JR, one thing I learned early in my playing coaching career is how to be a good loser. How to be a good loser. And you know what? Prideful men don't lose well. Now, understand this. I hated to lose. I'd shake hands and smile and then cuss all the way back to the locker room. I hated to lose. But I knew that when I lost, I hated when I went over and shook another man's hand after the game was over. I hated it when I shook his hand and he made an excuse for why they lost. I'd go over and shake a guy's hand and he would say something like, oh, man, we just couldn't tackle it all tonight. Or they'd say, oh, I don't know what our guys were thinking. And rather than just saying, hey, great job, man. Great job, coach. And then go complain and gripe and moan all he wanted to. And I'm finding a lot of good Christian men who are sore losers. Somebody give me a thumbs up or say amen or something, will you? They're sore losers. And I'm going to tell you, tells you something very deep about their character. Very, very deep about their character. And you can give the facade all you want to of being a righteous man and a holier-than-thou man and what's it, a deplorable. You can use whatever name you want to. And I saw a bunch of guys last night, and I've seen them today, who don't even have the common decency to say, hey, good ball game, man. Team played well. It's discouraging to me. Because you know what's going to have to happen, JR? We got to put this mess together. We got to bring this team back together. And as I said yesterday on the show, I didn't care. I cared who won, but I wasn't scared about who won. It didn't matter to me who won. Yes, I wanted Trump to win. But the job that was laying out there before all of us didn't change. If Trump won, there was one strategy. And if Hillary won, there was another strategy. But the whole strategy was what? Make the church great again. We got to make the church great again. Now, God, last night, I was overwhelmed. I was just overwhelmed because it was a miracle of epic proportions. Now, there are probably folks who are watching right now who hate Trump and still think I'm crazy for saying that. But you guys got to give me a thumbs up. I've been saying it all along. I had this one pegged all along as what was going on and what the issue, real issues were. And I don't say that to be braggadocious. I say that to help us understand that the Lord did something in our midst last night. There's nothing hidden that will not be revealed.
Amen.
I don't know how this whole thing's going to be. I don't know how this whole thing's going to play out. I don't know whether they're going to, if the Clintons are, if they got any brains at all, they're on a jet plane to somewhere this morning. I can tell you that. Because if Trump really follows through on what he said he's going to do, they're going to be in jail. And I can tell you who else is going to be in jail. The guy in the White House is going to be in jail too. He's going to be in jail unless somebody does something to pardon him or give him whatever. Now, hear me. Hillary could fall on her face today and tell me how sorry she was. She could go on there and bawl and scream and cry and have her cry so hard that her caked makeup ran down her cheeks. And, you know, I'd forgive her. But listen, receiving forgiveness does not punish or does not cancel the punishment. She has to be made an example of. We have got to make them an example of. Do we have the cojones to do it? Do we have the cojones to do it? And as I heard Michael Savage, I shared this a couple times on the show. Michael Savage said that the worst thing, best and worst thing, greatest strength and weakness of Christians is forgiveness. That's our greatest weakness and our greatest strength is forgiveness. Now, guys, I'm all about forgiveness, but there must be accountability. Y'all with me on that? Y'all with me? That's the way I see it. So here's the task that lays before us today. The Lord gave us a reprieve last night. And I think the purpose of those of us in the huddle, isn't it amazing that we're coming together here in less than 10 days? Is that amazing? The timing of the Lord. Because here's what we have to do. Listen to me. We played a bigger influence than we even know. We influence more people than we even know. JR, I say you because I know you appreciate this. I give a tip of the hat to Mark Harrington. Do you have any idea? Mark Harrington of Created Equal, our buddy at Created Equal, Mark Harrington ran face first into that mess against all those never Trumpers and all those people who were calling him a sellout and all those people that said babies are going to die. He flew face first into that, and he was in Florida, and he was flying those huge airplane banners of aborted babies saying vote pro-life. And we looked down here in Florida. I don't know how big the victory was, but I have to tell you, he had something to do with that. And I'll tell you something else. I like Mark Harrington because he didn't sit around and cry and moan and find out everybody else was failing and they should do this, they should do that. He just strapped up his boots and he went to work. I salute Mark this morning. Winners and losers. Let's talk about some winners and losers. And I'm gonna let you talk about. I can rattle them off. I'm gonna let you talk about them here in just a second. But I want you to hang with me because I got some things to show you that I think are really, really profound. I don't think we have any idea how much they cheated. I don't think we can even conceive. They were so confident that there was no way that she could possibly win. And I was watching as the things were winding down. It was what, 4 o'clock? I don't know what time they finally declared it. I watched it even beyond that a little bit because I loved watching them squirm. But I just did. I loved watching those big fish flop in the boat. You know what I'm talking about? I loved watching it. And they were so confident. And I watched what was going on with, especially in Pennsylvania, how they refute Fox News. Boy, are they vicious. Oh, my goodness. Huh? Fair and balanced, they are, right? Yeah, oh, they were vicious. Refused to call Pennsylvania for Trump. Refused to do it. Because they knew that when they did it, what the impact of that was going to be. And I believe they did everything. I think they tried to do two things. Number one, I think they tried to discourage. Even when victory was assured, they wouldn't let the people celebrate victory. They kept holding it back and holding it back. They did it on purpose, trying to find every vote that they could. And then the second thing is, ding dong, the media is dead. Praise the name of the Lord. You know the real media figures who turned this whole thing? You know who the champions were? James O'Keefe. WikiLeaks, Dare I say it, Alex Jones? Dare I say it, Larry Nichols? Huh? That's who it was.
Amen.
It was little, it was men, just men, just people just doing the best that they could to get the truth out there, to speak the truth, to shine the light of truth. And what a difference it made. Here's where we are, fellas. I'll put my glasses on here a second. I'm tired. Here's where we are. We got to push now. Rich, we got to push now. We got to push in the first 100 days. We got to push. I would say, though, do you guys remember how Obama came in when he first came in, how they went? Remember Nancy Pelosi carrying around that big gavel? You remember her walking around? Remember them bragging? And remember they passed Obamacare without one Republican vote? Do you remember when they had a chance to rub our face in it? They rubbed our face in it. You remember when Obama said that, was it to Mitt Romney or somebody? I can't remember who it was for sure. But when Obama said, hey, I won. I'm the one that won. Hey, we need that attitude. See, but see, that comes back to Michael Savage. Oh, you don't be mean. Don't want to rub their face in it. Yeah, I do. Yes, I do. Let me say it again. I'll get close for you. Yes, I do. I want to rub their face in it. We need to make an example of them. We need to point out the phonies everywhere we go. And then, here it is. I want to go after the pastors. We wouldn't be where we are today were it not for those cowardly pastors. And you know what? They're going to tell us on Sunday that they were with us. You know what we call that, baby? Call that the bandwagon. They're all going to want to jump on that bandwagon and ride down Main Street, tooting their horn, acting like they were ahead of it. They weren't. They weren't. They gave us no leadership on it at all. Amazing thing happened. I saw this. It was the greatest. Think about this, fellas. JR, let this sink in. Let this sink in. Last night was the greatest evangelical vote, number-wise, in the history of America. You hear that? And they cheated and cheated and piled up those ballots in those inner cities. They cheated and they cheated and they cheated. And once again, the people of God proved that they have the power to control the direction of this country. I was watching down there in Florida when they were, when everybody knew that Trump had won Florida, everybody knew it. But they wouldn't release the final tallies down in Florida because they were waiting for the two things. They were waiting for the votes from the panhandle to come in. And the reason they wanted to wait for the votes from the panhandle to come in is because they were waiting on Broward County. Because Broward County is where they cheated the last time. And they wanted to know how many votes they had to come up with. And you know what? They couldn't come up with them. They didn't have enough of them. They couldn't cheat enough. And if we could ever go back and we could ever really do a tally of what's going on, I'll bet you Trump won 75-25. Anybody want to argue with that? 75. Did you see those guys standing in line in Michigan, all those old union workers, those UAW guys who knew that they'd been screwed, exactly what Michael Moore had said about it? Hey, Jared, see if you can find that Michael Moore clip for me real quick if you can. Oh, man, what an unbelievable thing happened last night. Now, here's what we got to do. Guys, we got to come up with it. We got to come up with a game plan. We got to come up with a game plan. Donald Trump, last night, JR, he received 81% of the evangelical vote, the greatest turnout of evangelicals in American history, more than G.W. Bush, the father, son, and G.W. Bush. He received more than G.W. Bush. Now, here's what I want to know. How could 19% of evangelicals vote for Hillary? They did. We got some work to do. And my greatest fear is that we're going to go back and we're going to sit on the couch and we're going to drink a big old milkshake and eat some French fries because we just won the game. We don't have time to do it. We're going to go to war today. So we need to come up with a game plan. I went on there about 14 minutes, didn't really say a whole lot. Let me hear from the crowd. Hey, Jared, do you have Donald Trump? Okay, we'll get that in a second. Let me hear from one of you. Sarge, let me hear, because I know Sarge. This thing was going ding, ding, ding. No wonder I couldn't have slept. Ding, 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 all night long. Sarge, you were doing some of that dinging. So what? What?
What's hey, your- I want you to know that second district Maine went for Trump, buddy.
It was glorious, wasn't it? Yeah, I mean, it, come on, man. It was glorious. It was glorious to watch that happen, and to watch that thing go. When you could see it, you could see that wave gone. And see, again, I don't know how they do it, but they brought it back almost to where the polls were. Then they 1%, 2%. But that wave, they couldn't stop. Wisconsin, almost Minnesota. Who the ever thought of that, right? Oh, my goodness. What a time. Okay, somebody jump in here. Somebody Rachel, jump in and give me a reaction.
Rachel Maddow's face was literally. Oh.
You know what I said to my wife? I said, Michelle, look at her. There's one angry young man. Hey, Coach. She looks like a man, especially when she's crying. Right, yeah, Rich.
You know, in all seriousness, I went to bed at 8 o'clock last night and slept like a baby. And, you know, I remember being captain of my football team and went out in the middle of the field for that coin toss, you know. Yeah. Uh-huh. And, you know, I was never nervous about that coin toss because it really didn't matter. We had a game to play, whoever received and whoever kicked off. And I look at it, you know, that last night was a coin toss.
It was.
And it's time to strap up and put truth and righteousness in the end zone, period.
Because, Rich, it was just a matter of whether we received or whether we went on, right? Whether we were on offense or whether we were on defense. And here's what I see last night. See, because we won, we can't see that we're on defense. No. We are on offense. And JR, we have got to turn the heat up on the pulpits and on the pastors. Amen. Now is the time that we have to go. We have to demand, those of us here, we have to demand the defunding of Planned Parenthood. We have to demand a anti-abortion bill on the president's desk. We have some things that we have to demand in the first 100 days. We have a Donald Trump. Now listen, we know this. His team isn't going to play very well with him. We, JR, have to be the water under the boat. We have to make his team play with him. And we can have the most dramatic transfer of policy that we have ever seen, ever. And it can happen in the first 100 days, but we need to begin now. So let's talk a little bit about that. What is or could be our strategy? Time out. Let me back up. Some of you else had something else to go. Now you know where we're on ahead. I want to talk about that strategy. Anybody else have a reaction from last night? Anybody stay up and watch the whole thing other than me?
No, I went to bed at 1:15, but I think there are four things that the church has to get involved in. And it's not church things. I mean, it's right. The Holy Spirit's job, and only the Holy Spirit has the ability to pound truth into the church. He can use some people to take truth there, but only the Holy Spirit can make that truth stick there. Okay?
Yes, but
the church, those pastors out there, and any pastor that doesn't get on board with one or all of these four things, those people that are going to those congregations or those meetings or fellowships or whatever you want to call them, they should forcibly carry those pastors, put a little bit of tar on them, stick some feathers on them, put them on a little red wagon and push them out of town. Amen. And here are the four things that the church must get involved in. First of all, we need to end the lock that the two-party political system has on our country. I don't think we need a three-party system. I think we need a dozen party system. We need to have actual choices for people. And the next thing is voter fraud. We've got to get a handle. There was voter fraud that took place yesterday. You could see it because of the areas and the places where the last votes were waiting to come in from, just as Coach alluded to. They wanted to, do we have enough fraud in that district to make it happen?
Now, wait, hang on, Larry. Stop.
Out there. It has to be found. It has to be prosecuted. And we have to come up with ways and laws to prevent it from happening again.
Hang on a second, Larry. I'll let you finish. Guys, we have to return to paper ballots and same-day voting. We have to return to those. Go ahead, Larry.
And the third thing that the church must get involved in is we must insist that this practice of certain people are above the law in the United States of America, that must be nipped in at the stage it's at now. I was fixing to say in the bud, but it's not in the bud. It's a rampant, pervasive thing that's out there. It must be stopped now, and the rule of law for everyone having equal justice has to be reestablished.
Okay, now, hang on. Hey, guys, who's going to make this happen? I think we do. I think we have to lead a movement, and we have to make it happen, because I know this. They're out there. We just see us all. They're out there. We've got to provide the impetus, because the pastors ain't going to do it, and we cannot lose this momentum. Were you done, Larry? I didn't mean to walk on you.
And the fourth thing that I see that has to be done is that we really need to get each state and the people in each state to sit down and seriously work on what they want done with their electoral votes. Because current system is leaves the door open to too much discord at the end of an election.
That's right. What we have to do is one thing I already talked to Kevin about. Jared, I want you to pull something up here in a second. Well, I'm sorry, I'm kind of all over the place. I think we have to go back to proportional electors. You can't just let New York City be so overwhelming Democrat that the entire state of New York, all their electoral votes go to. We can't do that. We have to make those a little bit more provisional. Anybody else want to jump in? Michael, I think you've been pretty quiet for about 20 minutes. That's pretty weird.
The key is, here's the church problem. Get the 501(c)(3) out of our business. Yes. Keep it away from it. If you don't cover, this is the thing. That is a part of the global system. And if you're under it, you're under a curse. And that's why the church couldn't defend against the Bible, couldn't defend against prayer in school, couldn't defend against abortion, couldn't defend against homosexuality. It's because we allow ourselves to be silent, and that big churches have got to break down, and we got to get back to the one-on-one, just like it was in the New Testament. It's the home meeting of people together. That's where the church has to return.
And Job one, JR. Job one. Let's do that. Anybody else?
I want to confirm what Rich said, because that's the first thing I wrote down this morning. We basically won the full coin flip last night, and we got to show up and play the game. And we have to choose whether we're going to play defense or offense. And Rich, that's key. We have to go on offense. We've been playing defense way too long.
And JR, we also have to watch out, as I'm seeing right now, the division on our own team. That ain't going to heal. That ain't just going to heal. I'm going to tell you something. I could rattle off to you four guys right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to forgive, but it ain't easy. I'll be honest with you. It ain't easy. And I don't know if I want to go get back in the huddle with them. You know what I'm talking about, JR?
Hey, Coach, logically – You spent your lifetime being a football coach. What do you do with people on your team that were inside enemies? What'd you do with them?
I put them on the bench.
You bet.
Yep. So in my mind, I'll play with them, but on my terms. I'm gonna play with them on my terms. I've already seen. I already saw it. Guys, listen. We rescued, whether you know it or not, we rescued Western civilization last night. Have you thought about this? Four Supreme Court justices, probably. Four Supreme Court justices. And if we don't push hard now, people see JR, Kevin, Mike, they all say the same thing. Well, Coach, you can't legislate morality. I say, what the hell's wrong with you? They've been legislating immorality. They've been doing that for 60 daggone years. What are you talking about? We can't legislate morality. That's exactly what they have done, except they haven't legislated it. They have used the courts to do it. And now my never-Trumper friends, they can't even rejoice that we're going to be able to pick some pro-life judges. They still don't want to trust Trump. I say, you dummy. I don't trust you. It's not Trump. Let's hold his feet to the fire. We have the power. 71% of Americans are Christian, claim to be Christian. 81% turned out last night. The church turned the tide. Goodness gracious. We ought to be raising up as a force and cramming it down the throat, just like the devil did to us for the last 8 years of that Muslim freak in the White House. Somebody give me a thumbs up on that. A Muslim freak. We're under Sharia law. We're under Sharia law. He's a Muslim freak. And people still support him. Still support him. How blind can the church be? Because, see, the church doesn't even understand how deadly Islam is. We're making them mayors and elected officials. Well, as if the scripture says, how can two walk together lest they agree? Doesn't it say that, somebody? Doesn't it say that? Can two walk together lest they agree? So I can walk hand in hand with a Muslim? Are you kidding me? Huh? That goes against the scriptures. What? I can put a Muslim in office and have him support me? I can do that? Right wing watch, that one's for you, baby. Because let me tell you something, right wing watch, we're pushing back. We are pushing back, and you ain't going to have your judges sitting in the Supreme Court. And you aren't, see, the Supreme Court and those judges has been the hammer. It's just been sitting there. Every time we try to do something good, boom. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We want to pass some pro-life legislation. Oh, yeah. No, you ain't. Oh, we want to protect marriage. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, you ain't. We got the hammer now. They love the court so much. Well, let's give them a little bit of their own medicine. Anybody disagree with that one? No. What do you think, George, sitting out there in Tulsa, Oklahoma?
Coach, man, I'll tell you what. I'm fired up because I believe we've been given a reprieve. And you're right. We've got to go for the jugular. We've got to ingrain in the psyche of our Christian brothers and sisters that, you know, now's the time to fight. And we can't let up because we know that the other side is not going to let up. We know they're going to come full force. And you know what? Now's our chance. Now's the chance for the church to truly shine and be the church of Jesus Christ.
Amen. It's time to make the church great again, baby. Time to make the church great again. Okay, I want to play something for you. We played it before, but I want to play it again. Jared's got it up there. Michael Moore. Jared, if you can pull that up there. It's just a few minutes. This came to pass. Now this video of Michael Moore. It's got some swear words in it, but you're a big boy. You'll be okay. Hold your ears. And he told us exactly what was going on in Michigan. Now, this was not what Michael Moore was never for Trump. Michael Moore said that when he made this video, they cut the video short. And at the end of the video, he said this: they're going to vote for Trump, and then they're going to wake up the next day and are going to regret what they did. But it doesn't matter, because Michael Moore, the devil's kids, perfectly analyzed the condition. Perfectly analyzed it. By the way, if you want to jump in, 843-957-8180. 843-957-8180. Let's play Michael Moore talking about Trump. I catch my breath here a second. Go ahead there, Jared.
Because I know a lot of people in Michigan that are planning to vote for Trump. And they don't necessarily like him that much. And they don't necessarily agree with him. They're not racist and rednecks. They're actually pretty decent people.
Pretty decent.
I wanted to sort of, after talking to a number of them, I wanted to write this. And Donald Trump came to the Detroit Economic Club and stood there in front of the Ford Motor executives and said, if you close these factories as you're planning to do in Detroit, and build them in Mexico, I'm going to put a 35% tariff on those cars when you send them back, and nobody's going to buy them. It was an amazing thing to see. No politician, Republican or Democrat, had ever said anything like that to these executives. And it was music to the ears of people in Michigan and Ohio and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, the Brexit states. You live here in Ohio, you know what I'm talking about. Whether Trump means it or not is kind of irrelevant, because he's saying the things to people who are hurting. And it's why every beaten down, nameless, forgotten working stiff who used to be part of what was called the middle class loves Trump. is the human Molotov cocktail that they've been waiting for. The human hand grenade that they can legally throw into the system that stole their lives from them. And on November 8th, Election Day, although they've lost their jobs, although they've been foreclosed on by the bank, next came the divorce, and now the wife and kids are gone. The car's been repoed. They haven't had a real vacation in years. They're stuck with the shitty Obamacare bronze plan where you can't even get a fucking Percocet. They've essentially lost everything they had except one thing. The one thing that doesn't cost them a cent and is guaranteed to them by the American Constitution, the right to vote. They might be penniless, they might be homeless, they might be fucked over and fucked up. It doesn't matter because it's equalized on that day. A millionaire has the same number of votes as the person without a job. One. And there's more of the former middle class than there are in the millionaire class. So on November 8th, the dispossessed will walk into the voting booth, be handed a ballot, close the curtain, and take that lever or felt pen or touchscreen and put a big fucking X in the box by the name of the man who has threatened to upend and overturn the very system that has ruined their lives. Donald J. Trump. They see that the elites who ruined their lives hate Trump. Corporate America hates Trump. Wall Street hates Trump. The career politicians hate Trump. The media hates Trump after they loved him and created him and now hate him. Thank you, media. The enemy of my enemy is who I'm voting for on November 8th. Yes, on November 8th, you, Joe Blow, Steve Blow, Bob Blow, Billy Bob Blow, all the Blows, get to go and blow up the whole goddamn system because it's your right. Trump's election is going to be the biggest fuck you ever recorded in human history. And it will feel good.
That's it, huh? That's it. That's what happened last night. And see, they still don't get it. They still don't get it, and they still don't understand exactly what happened. And I want to show you something here. Hey, Jared, anybody want to comment on that? I don't know if you had heard that or not. Sorry about the F-bombs, but you're all big boys and big girls. You know, you've heard it before. All you got to do is go watch what goes on in the White House. Beyonce and Jay-Z, they say that worse stuff than that. So it's no big deal. Hey, Jared, let's call up there on that screen for me real quickly. It says, I'm sorry, let me switch screens here real quick. I'm sorry. No. Which one did I send you, Jared? Looking, it says me. There it is. No. Is that it? Yeah, Jared, let's call up. No. Where did that come from? Oh, I'm way down. I'm sorry, guys. I'm looking at the wrong spot. Here we go. Jared says stuff. Pull up, Jared, where it says map. Map. I want you folks to see this. This is part of what our problem is. Okay, Jared, put that up on the screen. Now, guys and girls, look. We have to target this as well. This is from Yahoo. Put it up on. Is it on the screen? Because, Jared, I'm going to need you to do something. There's a picture of the electoral map from last night. Okay? Now I want you to watch something. You see all the red and you see all the blue. Here's our problem. Jared, click right on Ohio. Just scroll on and click on it, Jared. By the way, you won by 10 points. Look at the Ohio map. Look at it. Look how much is Trump. And then look, the cities. Cleveland, Columbus, Cincinnati, up in left corner, Toledo, Youngstown,
And down there, there's another low one. That's not a city. That's probably just middle of Appalachia. But look what's happening. We God-fearing people who are paying the taxes, working the jobs, they are the ones that are voting, and we're being overwhelmed by the cities because that's where all the cheating's going on. Do you see that? Look at that map. Look at that thing. Hey, Jared, go, click out of that. Rich, you live in, let's go to Illinois. Well, Illinois, that's not going to help us because they're, well, go ahead, click on it, Rich, or Jared. Look at Illinois. Look how much of Illinois is red. But what do you have there? Chicago. Oh, boy. Look at those areas. Those large cities are the ones that are determining. Click out of there a second. Where do you live, Larry?
South Carolina.
Click on that South Carolina down there, Jared. I'll be done. Look at that. There's Columbia, Charleston, the large cities where all the people are congregated, that's where they're able to cheat. Do you understand this? Do you understand? Jared, let's go to Florida. Let's look at Florida. Are you kidding me? Look at that. What do we have down there? Miami, Broward County, all of that down in there. First of all, dare I say, yeah, there's a big conglomerate of Jews down there. Hate to say that. It just happens to be the truth. They hate Jesus. And then Miami, and then look up there, St. Petersburg and Orlando, the cities where all these people are congregated is where they're cheating us. Do you see it? Let's get out of that one.
Look at
pick another one.
Go New York.
Go to New York. Look at that. Look at that. Look at New York and all this big blue down here. That's New York City. That's it, Jared. That's all New York City down there. Look at that mess. And look at all New York. So up there where Sarah is, they have no representation.
Nope.
It's all down in New York City. That's where all the votes are going. Let's click out of there. Where do you live, George? Oklahoma. Click on Oklahoma. Jared's going to... Wow. Even, hey, there's hope. Even the cities in Oklahoma went for him. That's unusual.
Amen.
Click out of that one. Let's go up here. Well, I already did search. Let's go to let's go to Wisconsin. You ain't gonna believe Wisconsin. Go ahead. There it is. Down there, the University of Wisconsin Madison. Look at that blue down there. Look at all that. Look at the rest of that state, up in Eau Claire, Milwaukee. Do you understand what's happening to us? Do you understand why this is so critical? So they go in there and they stuff those ballots. And see, they didn't stuff them enough. Anybody want to see any other city, any other state in particular?
Colorado.
Let's look at Colorado. They're all stoned out there, Larry. Look at that. Colorado's basically red.
Yeah.
Well, we understand there's not a big population, I suppose, in Colorado. But look, where is it? Denver, Pueblo. And I don't know what that is. That's probably, who knows? That's where the dope smokers are. That's why that's all blue. This is really illustrative, guys. This is really, really something. Click out of one more.
California.
Go to California.
Just curious.
Look at that. Huh? San Diego, L.A., San Francisco. That's where they're cheating. That's where the – not only is that where the number of people are. Think about going into those inner cities. They don't even have jobs. Most of the people living there don't even have jobs. They are living off of the government. Mm-hmm. Wow. And they're the ones who are dictating for the rest of us. This will blow your mind. Hey, Jared, let's go to Virginia. Hang on. Don't click there yet, Jared. Just stay right there a second. Virginia. Look. Now, look all around there. Look at that map. Look at all that red all around Virginia. But here's what we don't realize. Virginia is Washington, D.C., and all the government workers. Let's click on Virginia and see what that picture looks like.
Don't forget the governor released 60,000 felons to vote, too.
Which was the number that they won by. Did you see that?
She yes, won exactly. by
60, exact same number. What's the blue up in there? Those are the suburbs. That's Fairfax County. That's where all the government workers look are. And look at the rest. Hey, let's go to Georgia. Jared's getting a good lesson here. Atlanta, look at it.
Wow.
Do you understand what's going on? Do we see that now? So they know they can sneak in there, stuff those ballots. There ain't no money. Listen, these are Democratic strongholds. They got Democratic employees working in there. They don't care if the ballots are being stuffed. They want it to be stuffed. That's why we're not winning. Go, Sarah.
Steve would like to know if you could look at Tennessee, please.
Sure, Tennessee. Look at that red. Well, I'll be darned. Nashville, Memphis. You ever been to Memphis? Oh, my goodness, huh? Look at that.
Yeah.
And what was it? It was 61-34. I mean, that was a pretty big win, 61-34. Hey, by the way, somebody help me out here. How many votes Tom Hoefling get? Did you find that for me? Is JR, is he anywhere in the top 50? Hoefling? No? Constitution Party, he's showing up there anywhere? No? Didn't think so. Okay, one more. Just go back here, Jared. Let's go to where we did Ohio, didn't we? Let's go. Oh, here you go. Go to Pennsylvania. Look at this. Philadelphia. There you are. Suppose there's any vote cheating going on in Philadelphia? Philadelphia is connected right to Camden, New Jersey, one of the most dangerous cities in America. Camden, New Jersey. New Jersey is connected to New York. You think there's any liberals out there, any ballot stuffing that's going on there? It's a serious issue. I could go on and on and on. Now, Jared, let's go back to that. Let's go back to that big map. Look at that. Look. Now, here's what's crazy. That whole Midwest, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, that's the deplorables. That's those white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. They came out and said, "I've had enough of this bull crap. I've had enough of it." Larry, I don't know what we can do, but that needs to be addressed. If we don't address that, we will never win another election, because I'm telling you right now, John Podesta, just after he had the mother's milk mixed with the blood mixed with the semen for breakfast, just after he did that, they're already working on how to make sure that this never happens to them again. And did you see this? No, you didn't. They were all upset last night because in the 2008, what was that, 2012 election, Barack Obama, you ready? Got 80% of the non-white vote. They showed the graphic. I'm not making it up. 80% of the non-white vote they got. Hillary only got 70%. Let that sink in. Hillary Clinton is winning with minorities. They're winning with minorities. And God-fearing people like us are having no representation because we're being overwhelmed and cheated in the inner cities. Okay, give me a little feedback on that one. Tell me what you think. JR, did you check Tom Hoefling for me? Check that out for me. Let me know how many. Let me know where he finished in Pennsylvania, will you? Nobody?
I'm looking. I can't find any kind of record of how many votes he got. I can only find that he's run for president.
Yeah, right. And what a big fuss. They divided, JR, they divided the body of Christ over that.
Yeah.
Right?
Hey guys, just remember, these spirits that are, you know, manifesting, they are territorial. And where are you going to go if you're going to try to control territory? You go where the votes are.
Yeah. Amen. They understand it. That's why they were all so shocked last night that she wasn't winning. They had it so rigged and it wasn't working. Go ahead, Mike.
I still say it's churches. If the churches don't break, they need to be shaken. Like, you know, it always starts in the church. If the church is shaken up and we start to see what we are doing wrong, then we can make these changes. But until the church faces what it's doing wrong, you're not going to be able to break these strongholds. I'm sorry. The church is under a stronghold of the devil by what we have allowed into the church.
But guys, we did some prayer and fasting, didn't we? Huh? Maybe even though maybe we weren't totally organized, maybe some people had never fasted before. Remember, Jesus said, well, this kind only comes out with prayer and fasting. That there's something that we, when we fasted and we prayed, yeah, even for a man who touches women, we prayed that the Lord would reprieve, give us a reprieve, and he did. He gave us a reprieve.
Talking about prayer, what encourages me this morning is I did not pray that Trump would win.
I didn't either.
I prayed that God's will would be done, and I am encouraged.
Amen. 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 And why? Because, see, listen, we could all prayed, but 81% of showed up. They couldn't just stay home and pray. They had to go do something. So I don't want to lose this momentum. Look, like you guys, what time is it here? I'm going to catch me a little bit of rest today. But I'm going to go back to work. We need to come up with a strategic game plan on how we can make this thing happen. All right, so I want all of you to be thinking about, be writing that down. Jared, I got something else I want us to pull up here real quick. Jared, you're doing a great job as always. Jared, let's go to, that's not the one. Let's go to the next one I sent you, which says leave the country. This will make you smile, fellas. This is from Gateway Pundit. Jared, go ahead and click on that one for me. These are the people. Am I on the right one? Is that it, Jared? Go to the top. Well, not the top, I don't think. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Here's 23 Hollywood idiots said they're going to leave us, so we got reason to celebrate. Who's trying to break in there?
I was just saying, I wish it would be possible that all the people that said they were going to leave would leave.
Well, here they go. Here's some of them. It's a bit better place. Who's first one? John Stewart. John Stewart said he wants to leave. Where he said he'd move to another planet. He said, I would consider getting in a rocket and going to another planet because clearly this planet's gone bonkers. He told reporters, good, get him out of there. Who else is going with him? Chelsea Handler. She's a comedian, or thinks she is, lesbian, I believe. She's out here too. So I did buy a home in another country just in case. So all of these people that threaten to leave the country and then don't, well, I'm going to leave the country. She said, good, see ya, see ya. Then Neve Campbell, don't really know much about her. House of Cards, I don't watch that. She's an actor. She's out of here. Barry Diller, goodbye, Barry. Barry Diller, I won't say what he is. He says, if Donald Trump doesn't fall, I'll move out of the country or join the resistance. He's okay, see you, Barry. Then Lena Dunham, I'm not going to read all these. Let's go down through. Lena Dunham, Keegan Michael Kay, I don't even know who that is. That sounds to me like some type of sissy. I guess Keegan-Michael Key. Yeah, got to be a sissy. Oh, he's a star of Key and Peele. He says it's easy. It's like 10 minutes from Detroit, and that's where I'm from. So he's going to leave. Good, we'll see you. Chloe, I don't even know. Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton says he's going to leave. Hey, JR, I'm going to sign him to you, okay? You get that moving van, you go by his place. I don't know. Spike Lee. See, I'm not a pop guy. I don't get it. Spike Lee, I know him. Amber Rose. Samuel L. Jackson, how much money has he made making movies with guns and killing white people? More than I can even. He says, I'm just running for popularity. Come on, just let it go, he said. Cher. Yeah, Cher. Cher's daughter became a man. That's all I need to know. George Lopez, he's out here. Barbara Streisand, about time. Raven Simone. Whoopi. She needs a cushion. So we need to get her a cushion. How about this one? Miley Cyrus. How about this one? Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Let's send her gone. What'd she say? I can't imagine what the country would be like with Donald Trump as our president. Now it's time for us to move to New Zealand. Hey! Let's get her out of here.
I'll pick her up too, Coach.
Okay, you pick her up. You swing by, pick her up on the same way. Cool. Okay, that's it. I just thought I'd throw that in there. Let's see if we can't hold these. I don't want to leave. I want to make the church great again. Y'all with me?
We'll make church great again. Hey, Jared, let's go 1 Samuel 17.
Coach, while you're getting there, I'm going to call play Sunday evening. I'm going to open up our conference call for a strategy session. In the meantime, you can send information or ideas to Kevin Bushy. His address is in the on the side. I don't know whether you want to open this up to the entire audience or not. I mean, I have no problem doing that. But I'm going to call play. We're meeting Sunday evening at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time.
Okay, I think we need to I think it's good. I'm thinking. Kevin, I was thinking of you last night. We need to be strategically organized. We need to get strategically organized. I believe if we call the right play, I believe the Lord's going to smile on us. I believe he's going to breathe on what it is we're trying to do, and I believe we can have a huge, huge impact. And we have to be my buddy Tom Munns, who was on yesterday, he told me this, and I believe it. He says, Coach, you have the ability to be able to move the needle. You do. You just don't know that you do. You have the ability to do it. He said, you have to get people engaged. You can't just talk to the men. You got to get them engaged. You got to get them in the game. And you got to keep after them and keep them in the game. And they'll come and they'll play and they'll fight. And he said, nobody's doing that. Nobody's putting boots on the ground. We have to do that. But it has to be strategic boots on the ground. It has to be easily replicable, duplicatable. We have to be able to do it. It has to be simple. Here's what you do. Do this and this and this. Those are the type of things we need to come up with. Yes, sir.
Yeah, and Coach, I want to tell everybody, if you really want to contribute with ideas, I beg of you, spend $20 and read Michael Savage's book, Scorch Earth, because it is a blueprint of which there is a great number of wonderful things in there that we can do. It is a prophetic book. Please read it.
Sarge, you just made me think, I'm going to read that. Who are some winners? There were some winners last night. Can anybody name some winners? Other than Trump, clearly. Who are some people whose stock went up last night?
Alternative media.
Boy, is that ever true. Is that ever true? I was listening to Alex Jones last night. You know his audience is bigger than all of the major media combined. Did you know that? Did you know that, Sarge? He's getting 13 million people watching his broadcasts. Now, they went up during the election, certainly. But people are turning off from they're turning off from those guys. They're not watching them anymore. So Alex Jones was a winner. Any other winners? I can give you several winners. Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity was a winner last night. He came out from that mess at Fox. I don't know how long he's going to stay there. I think Sean's had an epiphany. He's coming out of there because he became an enemy at Fox. Oh, Megyn Kelly. Did anybody see her drooling last night? Oh, her eyes were red. It was red stuff coming out of her eyes. Laura Ingraham. There's another one. There's another winner for you. And so there who's some losers? Well, the entire mainstream media, right? John Kasich. Huh? Paul Ryan, what do you think? He'd be a big winner. Did you ever see anybody see a big fatso Karl Rove last night? I was watching him. Karl Rove, these guys need slapped. They need slapped. Karl Rove was on Fox News after Trump had won. You know what he said? Well, Donald Trump, I can tell you this, he owes Wisconsin to Paul Ryan and Scott Walker. Are you kidding me? See, they're trying to co-opt him right now, move him right back in. Paul Ryan? Are you kidding me? He wouldn't even campaign with him. Then I saw Megyn Kelly. She went on this rant about how one-sided the media was, as if she wasn't part of it. It's like an out-of-body experience. I said to my wife, listen to her. She's talking about herself and doesn't even know it. She doesn't even know it.
I heard that, Coach.
Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness.
Hey, all right. Yes, two more losers, John McCain and Lindsey Graham.
Oh, man. Isn't that the truth? Now, John McCain won his seat again, but he's kaput. He's done. Lindsey Graham, he's been exposed as a cheater. CNN, boy, have they been exposed as cheaters, right? Hey, Clinton Foundation. We're going to start getting her an orange jumpsuit. In fact, are the Clintons going to flee the coup, do you think? Are they going to hang around? They're going to have to. They're going to have to flee the coup. Here's what I think. It's going to be a matter of how much grace and mercy old Trump has, because he's in the catbird seat and he can drive this thing at Crooked Hillary. We better pray for that boy. He's in danger. Any other winners and losers?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, yes, George Soros. Yes.
He lost a lot of money, dude, didn't he, buddy? Yes, sir. He's a loser. Yes, Serge.
It was amazing. CNN, I kept them going back and forth. But CNN, they spent an hour from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock with an 8-panel of people discussing how they were so wrong with the polls. How they could be so wrong with all the polls.
If we were to go back and we were to study how they tried to manipulate us over the last few months, we would be staggered. Because they had set it up. They had set up their cheating scheme to where she was going to win by 8 points or 10 points. She was going to. But the eddies, as Michael Savage says, the eddies just kept coming over the hill. They just kept coming over the hill. And because they kept coming over the hill, we see what we see. Jared, I don't know. Somebody else talk a minute. I'm going to look for something. I'm going to try to share with you. Somebody say something.
Coach, it's just like you said. The WASP came out and voted. Exactly. White.
Sir, I'm not patting myself on the back, although I am. I've been calling that, buddy. Yep. I've been calling it. And it gives me a great hope here today. Great hope that we can still make a difference. We can still stand up and we can still push back and we can still make the church great again. That has to become our goal and our target. We got to make the church great again. Jared, here's what I'm looking for. I don't know if you can Google it. You're good at finding this stuff for me. I'm looking, they had an aerial photo of people in Michigan standing in line to vote. It was staggering. And I looked at that thing and I thought about Michael Moore and I thought about all the guys who'd lost everything. I thought my dad was a factory worker. I thought about my dad, all those guys who worked for the UAW and United Steelworkers, how deceived they were by their unions and how a close relative of mine became a union guy late in his career and got to be one of the big shots in the union, and how it broke his heart because he got up and he saw for the first time that the union wasn't for the little guy. He'd been sold a lie. Just like we're being waking up and finding out, see that the Republican Party, they sold us a lie. They're not for us. Republican Party isn't for the little guy. They've never been for the little guy. We're finally waking up. There it is, Jared. Come on back down there. I think that was it. Boy, Jared's on top of it. No, well, that's a good one. That's not the one. It was an aerial photo. It almost made me weep. I don't see it. It's somewhere there. I'll find it tomorrow and share it with you tomorrow. That they come out. Think about this. Look at these people standing in line, throwing our vote to these guys and knowing that ultimately it didn't mean anything. It didn't mean anything. They were trying to cheat these guys, trying to cheat them out of their dignity, trying to cheat them out of everything that was important to them, trying to cheat them out of their livelihood, trying to cheat them out of their ability to raise their children. We're living in a nation, we're allowing these scoundrels to steal the heart of Jesus right out of the lives of our children. We're allowing that to happen. And we're sitting at the precipice. We'll find it tomorrow, Jared. We're looking at sitting at a precipice, an opportunity for us to make a difference like we have never, ever made in our lives. It's our chance to make the church great again. But we've got to have a plan. There it is. There, Jared, you are unbelievable. Guys, look at that picture. Huh? Can you imagine that? Knowing these guys, I was watching this, and I'm thinking these guys are standing in line, and somewhere in the inner city, somebody's stuffing the freaking ballot box, so this is worthless. That ought to shake us to our very core.
Amen, Coach.
And because of this, when I saw this, I knew Trump was going to win Michigan. Look at that. You think those guys came out and stood in that weather to come out there and vote for Hillary? I was born at night, but it wasn't last night, boys. It wasn't last night. Man, let me pray.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we just thank you. We just thank you, Lord. You know, your scripture says that in your vengeance, remember mercy. Lord, we thank you for your mercy last night. We thank you, Lord, for one more chance to make the church great again. Lord, I just pray that you would shake us to our very core, that we would do away with all this tomfoolery Christianity that we're marketing like snake oil salesmen. We come back to the fact that righteousness exalts the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. That we'd lift up a standard and raise up a standard of righteousness, that our pulpits would thunder with righteousness again. We'd turn Christ back into our schools, eliminate the slaughter of unborn children. Lord, restore marriage. Lord, stop the government thievery. Lord, I'm not naive enough to think that this is all going to be games and everything's going to come up roses. I know that's not true, Lord. I just pray that you give us the plans and the ideas and the power and the strength and the courage to make your church great again, Lord. Help us to say those things that need to be said to those who need to hear it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I was heading to, I'm done. I was heading to David and Goliath, 1 Samuel 17. Maybe we'll get to it tomorrow. Why don't you think about this?
Everybody remember, in God's mercy, truth is not abandoned.
Amen, brother. So in 1 Samuel 17, it says this, and David took a stone and he slung it. We slung it last night. Now we got a head. We got to go chop off. God bless you all. Thanks for being out there. Hey, guys, don't ever underestimate what we did. We moved the needle. I know we moved the needle. God bless you all. Thanks for watching. We'll see you tomorrow.